This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Passion detaching, the ones who keep acting attached, it's a leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these letters and actually reach. That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams, and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
What's going on, y'all? Man, it's your main man here, Big Smitty, a.k.a. D-Nice, and this is The Porch. Welcome. We are here back again, man. Very, very special guest to my right. This man right here is a comedian. He's a producer, a director, an actor. He can rap. He can do it all, man. The one and only Chinadu Unaka. Welcome to The Porch.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me, dog.
Yes, sir, man.
This is nice.
You like this right here?
Yeah, it's not real porchy.
What would you call it then? I mean, this is kind of like, I mean, it's still a porch, man. Vibe. We got the seats, we got the drinks.
Nah, this ain't no porch. Where you live?
Where you looking for it? You looking in the bag? You nervous?
This is nice, man. This is inside of a house.
Well, I knew I had a superstar joining the porch. I had to step it up a little bit.
All right, well, shit, I got Crocs on.
I didn't want to put you in Inglewood.
I thought I was going to be on a real porch, man. Put on my Inglewood Crocs.
He got his elbows up, got his feet out. Look at him. He's straight Cali over here, boy.
You feel me? I thought I'd be relaxing. But yes, this is cool, though, man. I appreciate y'all having me.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you for joining.
Now, of course, man.
All right, my guy. A question I got to ask you, man. Mm-hmm. So, listen, I got a lot of homies who are Nigerian. Okay. Play football with them. I got my guy, F.A. Ogene Scott-Imakpor.
Oh, wait.
Got
my guy, say that name again?
F.A. Ogene Scott-Imakpor. It's like my brother.
Scott?
So the Scott part, it's two last names. It's Scott Dash and Mark Poor. Mark Poor is the real Nigerian part right there.
Scott was
I don't know. I got to ask
him. Did he go by Scott sometimes?
Nah, he used to go by F.A.
Okay, got you.
Go by F.A.
F-A-B-O-L-O. Y'all would do that?
We definitely would do that every time. So we got him. Uh-huh. I got my homie Osa Zuwamin.
Okay.
Igbenosin.
Damn, that sound like a delicious dish.
It do. Yeah. It sounds like you go to a steak, like maybe here. Hey, yeah. I get that Igbenosin, please.
Facts.
Extra steak sauce. But so I gotta ask you, man, why is every Nigerian I meet successful? Why are y'all so successful? Mm. Like every single, like this is almost a serious question, because like I've not met one Nigerian who didn't have just good stuff going on for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, because I'm going to only speak from like Nigerians that are like born in America or that moved here. I think if you think about our parents, right, and where they come from, and, you know, the lack of opportunity sometimes that was there, et cetera, I think when they do get to this country, and I think it's like that for a lot of foreigners, a lot of things aren't just taken for granted, right? Sometimes it's hard to appreciate how good it is if you didn't come for something worse, right? So if you came from something that wasn't as opportunistic or wasn't as fruitful, when you get to a place up there, I think you're more likely to just cherish it and do as much as you can to grow in that space, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think it's, too, I think, like, a lot of times, you know, I think we're, and then a lot of people that come to this country, a lot of times it is a lot of the best Nigeria has to offer as well. You know, those people that are, you know, leaving a state, leaving what you did.
Right.
And coming to California. That's a mental hurdle a person has to get over. Now, imagine leaving a country and coming to a different country, right? So that's a kind of mental strength that these people have,
right.
And then we're just their children, right? And so, I think it's just a testimony to how smart, intelligent, and hardworking our parents are, and less about just being Nigerian. I think it's the people we actually come from. I think it's a lot of that. It's a culture too. A lot of it, like education, just pushed down our throats when we're little. That how important it is,
right?
And so, while you're learning, trying to get all the good grades, indirectly, you're learning you know, hard work, you're learning critical thinking, you're learning discipline, you're learning punctuation, you're learning, you know, different things that can help you in any medium, right, of your life. So it's you know how it is. You have a sports background, right? All yep. those, you're just trying to achieve in a sport. Even if you don't get there, you still accumulate so many skills that you can apply to anywhere else, to a relationship, to a job, whatever, that made you a better person. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. I think it's a lot of that.
100%, man. Yeah. I mean, that's beautifully said. And, like, I think I saw either a previous podcast or it might have been a stand-up or something where you talked about your dad was kind of cool when it came to you deciding to go the comedy route. Like, he wasn't, like, tripping either way.
Yeah.
Your mom was, like, she's kind of pushing the envelope. Like, she wanted you to be a doctor. You have siblings that are all doctors, correct?
No. I got four siblings. Two are doctors, though.
Okay, two are doctors.
The other one, she was, like, a vice principal. Then she worked for the city of Houston.
Gotcha.
Now she worked for some kind of private firm. Not sure exactly what she does. I just know they pay her nice to do it. Then my big brother, he was always, like, jumping in different jobs. He was, like, one time worked a probation officer for a very long time. He worked at a bank. Then now he works in, like, the hotel industry.
Got you.
So, yeah. But my little brother and my oldest sister, they're both doctors. So.
Got you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, you know, talking about just the conversation, I guess, you had. Like, when you first made the decision, like, all right, I'm going to do this comedy thing for real.
Yeah.
Like, what was the conversation like when you talking to mom or when you presented to her? Like, just explain that to her.
You know, for me, it wasn't even like I asked him. Right. For permission, I just kind of started doing it, and then they would hear about it, you know,
in the streets. Different,
yeah. But at that time, I was still like balancing a job, right? While I was still like just trying to figure out how to get paid as a comedian.
You was a teacher, right?
Yeah, I was a teacher. Yeah,
yeah, that's incredible. You teaching, and you were teaching special needs.
Students, mild to moderate special needs students.
Like that's incredible to do that. Mm-hmm. Leave sometimes, you know, go do a show or try to do like. Yeah. How stressful was that moment in your life of just trying to figure it out and make it all make sense?
Yeah, it was exhausting, man. I was cooked, you know? The boy was cooked, man. Yeah. I'll pull over to take naps. There's times I almost died on the freeway because that was the time I was, like, balancing grad school while teaching, while doing a comedy, et cetera. You know, comedy's a nighttime thing. Then you wake up. And I was like, you know, I'm giving my all to my students as well. These are people's kids. And so I took that job just as serious. So it was tough balance it all. But the more that I learned in this business as well, like, it actually helped me prepare myself to how busy things can get when you're doing entertainment as well. There's so much work you have to do, as you know, that you're not being paid for. You know what I mean?
Talk to me.
To get to a certain point that you want to get. And then when you get to that point, there's just more work waiting for you. So I think, like, those years, also my years in, you know, college and sports, et cetera, you know, it prepares you to kind of just deal with it all. Just gotta be very cognizant of your time and, you know, make sure every minute's accounted for.
Man, that's real, man. Cause, like, I'm kind of going through that right now. Yeah. I'm in that phase where, you know, I got my 9 to 5, you know what I'm saying? I'm at Fox doing my thing.
Yeah.
But then my passion project is
you know, your biceps. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you gotta find time to constantly curl. You know, maybe you curl at lunch.
Yeah.
Maybe you curl before you get to work.
Tricep push down.
Curl under your desk where nobody's, you know what I mean?
The comedian got the jokes, of course, man. But you know what? Hey, that is a part of my routine. Working out helps me mentally have clarity when I'm doing stuff.
At the very least, you did that.
Yeah, at least.
You know what I mean? That's the power of working out. At the very least, I took care of my health, which is the most important thing, if you ask me.
Yeah, 100%, man. Tell me this, man. Was there ever a point in time when you were going through that, you know, in school, your teaching, your comedy, whether you ever had those days where you were second-guessing yourself, like, man, what am I doing? Like,
bro, it's today, just gonna work. Dog. Today, wait in the dark for your ass to show up.
Oh, nah, man, I know you did. We can't do that as brothers on here.
I'll play with you. Nah, man. I mean, I think you know what? Yes, right? There's, like, auditions you had that you really put a lot of work in and you don't get. And I think in those moments, you do have, like, these whatever internal thoughts or conversations with yourself. That's one thing I love about stand-up, though, because stand-up, I fully control. Right, I could take a silly idea I have right now, go find a stage to perform on, and be and feel like a creative. You know what I mean? Just be creative. So, I think having power over something in my journey, full power, that has kept me to get through those valleys. And then also reminding myself that it's human. I think a lot of time when people have, like, these moments of doubt, they think they're the only one having these moments of doubt.
Right.
And they beat themselves over it, you know, when not realizing that's just a human condition. And it's natural for your brain to go through that, right? That just shows that you really want something, not necessarily that it's not meant for you. Right. That just shows that you really want it. And I think I get excited in those moments because I'm like, man, this feels like a moment where a lot of people quit. If I can just get past this moment, it's just not that many people there no more. You know what I mean?
And that's that sports background, I think. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the way you're raised, too. But playing sports, man, we know it. It's, you got to learn how to lose. You got to learn how to deal with wins, how to go through stuff, how to be pushed through. And I use the same thing, being a football player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I played at Ball State, you know what I'm saying? And it just the different battles and struggles I had there, I use those same learning lessons then, now in the real world. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, we work in entertainment, man. Like, you go through those times, we like, man, like, I'm doing all this work, and I feel like I'm not getting the results that, that I deserve or I expect.
Facts.
And then, you know, sometimes people ask me, like, Darnell, like what's next? Or do you know, like, what's your bigger goal or how you going to get there? And it's been time. I'm like, shoot, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. Sometimes, you know what I mean, just being in it is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Right? And when you run into it, you'll know it, right? Goals change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You learn different whatever new skills, etc., that might lead you on a different path. A lot of times the thing you want, you don't really know all that's entailed. Right. So when you're in it, you might not even want that exact thing, but maybe it's like a version of that you're actually into. Right?
Yep.
You may think you want to be this, but then you realize, oh, actually that's not the balance of living while doing that is not what I want for me. Right. Or maybe, you know, everything that entails, maybe I don't want to do that for that long. Maybe I want to venture into this after that. Or maybe because the climate constantly changing too. We're living in a world that's constantly changing. Right. Technology changes a lot of things. So I think it's okay to like pivot and maneuver and not knowing where exactly you want to be in 5 years. Hell, knowing where you want to be in 2 weeks can be difficult enough. I don't think it's necessary to overwhelm ourselves, you know?
That's real, man. You know, like I said, I've been in LA for 5 years. Literally 5 years ago, you couldn't have told me I would have been doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a sales role back in Indiana, you know, polo tucked in my pants.
You said sales role?
Sales. I'm inside sales. I'm worked at a recruiting company.
Oh, sales.
Company.
I thought you was in jail. I like, see, I thought you was working out for passion.
I'm saying S-A-L-E-S, not C-E-L.
You working out for survival. Because I'm back in the sale, right? Nap down, you know what I mean?
Far East Side.
Make it call.
Put some money on my books now. I want some honey buns.
Yo, Dante, that's not our street. I'm like, oh, you was in sales, huh? You was about to be a transfer.
That's down there a bar right there. See, speaking of bars.
Yeah.
You did have a rap group back in the day.
Whoa.
Yeah, nah, you know, we bring you know it what? Up. Yeah.
You know what? Rap group is a strong word.
That's the word. That's what you use.
A couple of
words. I did my research, player.
You know what? I used to be in this rap group. My good buddy, Ivan Haynes, right?
Okay.
Rap brother as well. He an incredibly talented rapper. And he lived next door to me.
Okay.
Now, at that time, I was into poetry. I mean, I used to freestyle, whatever. He heard me freestyling. He approached me, hey, man, we should be in this rap group. And so that's how I started performing, was through rap first.
Okay, okay.
And a lot of my raps were just, like, funny, naturally. And so that's when my other homeboy started putting the idea that I should consider doing stand-up as well. So, yeah, in college was more like a, you know, while I'm here, fuck it.
Okay.
But in my head, I wasn't like, I could never, it's like, I want to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Nah, and I was like, yeah. And back then, I don't know if I wanted to do that. But it was a fun medium at that time. And, you know, I mean, hey, look, your boy. Yeah.
I want to put you on the spot.
Nah, I ain't rapping on you. Y'all got to stop freestyling.
Y'all pay you? Y'all pay for that?
Yeah, y'all pay at least. You know what I mean? Take care of the parking.
You see? I got you on the parking for sure. You funny as hell. But on a serious note, though, it sounds like that is what kind of triggered the thought and idea that got you into comedy, though. Is that fair?
Yeah, it kind of was, man. I think one thing it did, it relieved my fear of performing. Started doing that, and then the other part was just like having like a really really funny friend that just thought that I should do stand up because we used to love watching it.
Yeah.
And then just randomly one night I was actually at a talent show. We finished rapping. My homegirl Cindy is doing stand up.
Okay.
And she bombing on stage. I didn't know what bombing was, but you know what I mean, it was a rough set. But no matter you do good or great. Or good or bad, like it's funny to me.
Right.
The awkwardness was hilarious to me.
He was in there cracking
so
up.
So me and Dion crying front row, because we know her. You know what I mean? So we, because he cracking, I'm thinking I'm helping her because we laughing. But we the only ones laughing.
Right.
So she took offense to us laughing. And she's like, oh, Chinu, you think you funny? Why don't you come on stage? My boy, Deion, next to me, man. If you don't get up there, man, you a bitch. Right. So I'm like, all right, man. So I walk on stage. I think I'm just off the high of doing the rap performance, right? Yeah. Like, whatever, man. I already won tonight.
Yeah.
Everybody know I'm not supposed to be here. So I just walk on stage.
House
I got no,
money.
You know what I mean? House money. Yeah. I ain't got no jokes.
Yeah.
I take the mic. Like, man, give it up for Cindy, man, one more time for her. And then I go, I'm trying to figure out what to say. I remember it was Mother's Day weekend.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I go, man, happy Mother's Day weekend. Where all my mothers at? Right? Yeah. No one claps. I said, good, we in college, you whore.
Drop the mic.
I literally dropped the mic, bro. I said, good night. And the whole crowd just started dying.
Damn.
I just walked out, sat back down. I was like, huh.
I can do this. That's kind of
mean. Then from there on, just kind of started writing jokes.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I had to figure some shit out, you know?
Damn,
at that time, it was just fun. Then, like, later, you know, people started paying me. When I started meeting, like, really talented comedians, they would tell me that I had potential. That's when I started taking it more seriously.
So shout out to Sydney. Is that fair to say?
Shout out to Sydney for bombing that night, man. For real. You know?
That's how, you know.
My mom hates her, though. If you didn't bomb, he would be a doctor. If you could just write one good joke, my son would be a doctor with 7 kids right now.
You non-funny.
You ruined my life.
Hey, them Nigerian mothers do not play, man. I probably, my homie, all, yeah, my homie Efe, man, his mom, and I love her to death, but she's firm and direct, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't understand the culture, you could get offended, but me, I understand, so I'm like, I know she's just talking. It's not like she's trying to be rude or nothing like that.
Facts.
Is her just talking, you know what I'm saying?
I remember one time my boy Chucky, man, we was growing up, we was little. He came to my house, man, we all hanging out, and he was like, yo, I'm going to get some water or something.
Yeah.
And, like, the water's on the outside. Like, yeah, go ahead. Just go to the kids, grab some water. And then my mom was in there. I guess he, like, wanted to get another snack, so he opened the fridge.
Ooh.
My mom was like, Lovon, what are you doing on my fridge? Do you think this is some kind of a game art?
No. He probably was right there, like.
Bro, I just hear a banging on him. And I was like, yo, chill out, Bob.
He just wanted some orange juice, man.
That's what's so funny. Bob. Like, bro, your mom scared the shit out of
you. I mean, he ain't never touched that fridge ever again after that, man. To this day.
It was so funny, though.
Man, that's hilarious, man. In transition to the world of entertainment and comedy, man, what would you say is the most difficult part of just the comedy space? You know what I'm saying? Is it the getting the gigs? Is it the sustainability? Just like, what part of it is tough?
The most difficult part, I don't know. I would say maybe it's a lonely road. You know what I mean? I didn't really notice how lonely it is because I don't mind being alone. You know what I mean? But, you know, the older you are, the more you have to like juggle and things of that nature and different stuff. But, it could be a lonely gig because especially like before you start bringing people with you,
yeah,
and you just kind of going off and headlining on your own. You do the show, you say what's up to the audience. You know what I mean, you thank them. Then after that, you pretty much by yourself again. Mm. You know what I mean? So I think it's not necessarily a tough part, but I imagine for a lot of comics, that is probably one of the toughest parts. Outside of that, just dealing with like just random business things that. You know what I mean? You run into that are kind of outside of your control. But, you know, besides that, I think comedy's a beautiful art form. I think it's a super important art form as well. So.
100%, man. I mean, especially with all the things going on in the world, you need something to just make you feel good and laugh.
Yeah.
And to that point, too, man, we live in more of a PC world now, PC culture.
Mm.
And I always felt like comedians today, it's a little harder for y'all to like sometimes fully go there in certain jokes because you're kind of got to be a little safe. You don't want to get canceled. You don't want to mess with your career. I guess talk about that struggle, if it even is one for you.
Yeah.
It is how you navigate between still being you and, like, you know, crossing the line to an extent, but not going too far to where you're afraid you might offend someone.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I think for me, I just focus on, like, making sure my intent is good with the joke. And my intent is always just to make people laugh. I never want to make anybody or any group feel belittled,
yeah.
You know? I also think there is something to say about how, you know, a lot of times laughter is a way of inclusion, right?
Yep.
If I feel like, oh, I can't talk about this thing or this person because that would be, you know, mean, what I'm basically saying is this person isn't able to take it, right? And that, I think, depend on what it is, right? I think laughter, when you're able to laugh at yourself, that's a sign that you've healed, right? If you're not able to laugh at yourself, that means you have more work to do, right?
Right.
That's not necessarily the comedian's fault that you haven't done that work,
yeah.
If that makes sense. I think outside of that, I think another part of it is like where we have to watch what we're laughing at. Because to me, if I say a joke, and let's say it's about, I don't know, the large nipple community.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're out there.
They're out there.
We know you're out there, man. I've seen some areolas.
Come on now.
You know, so if I make a joke about the large nipple community, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're enjoying yourself because you got small nipples.
Right.
But then I make fun of the big pinky toe community. Ooh. And then now you're offended because you got big pinky toes.
Right.
You're not better than a comic on stage, right? You just, you know, everybody's, it's funny until the rock hit the house, yeah. Your own house.
Everybody got something.
You know what I mean? So it's just.
I know you always said you had a big head growing up.
Oh,
you said
huge
that. My head bigger than yours, so I don't know.
Ain't no, let me see, turn side.
I got a big ass head, bro.
Your head is regular, bro.
It's regular?
Yeah. You actually need a bigger head. It don't fit your body no more.
I don't. My body got too big.
Your body
see, if I lost that. Weight, though, if I was your weight,
yeah.
My head would look huge.
Your head is solid.
It's solid?
My head is, you know what I mean?
Shake my hand, bro.
You feel me?
I appreciate
don't,
it.
Don't even,
I ain't even.
And pause on that.
Pause. Yeah, definitely pause.
You know, cut that part, bro.
Edit that part out, man.
But, yeah, the PC thing's real. Also, this what last point about that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people aren't even necessarily offended by the joke. I think being offended itself is a brand,
ooh,
right? Where it's like you're not even genuinely offended. You're just trying to build fame off another person's name,
bingo.
Celebrity, right? If 85 people or 90 people say, I love this comedy project or special.
Right.
If you want to get attention, getting attention is not being the 91st to say you love it. Getting attention is being the 91st to say you hate it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then because the news is likely to pick it up more if you say you hate it.
Yeah.
Because negativity sells.
100%.
You know what I mean? So I think a lot of the people being offended by stuff is not even genuine. I think a lot of it's just people just trying to, everybody's trying to be famous now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We live in a world where, you know.
Social media.
Yeah.
Your cell phone
it's
right
whole,
here.
It's a whole different world now. So I think a lot of it is that too. It's a lot of it's not even genuine, you know.
That's real. People just searching for it.
It is what it is, you know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, I think good art is controversial art. You know, so I think everybody just got to kind of just stay true to your voice and let the rest take care of itself.
I love it, man. You mentioned, you know, everyone's trying to be famous now, right? Mm-hmm. And one avenue of comedy that's kind of been new over the last few years is that these kind of social media comedians, right? And
they
make skit videos, things like that. We've seen a lot of people really pop off in that lane. You being a guy who kind of like, you got your respect from stand-up and then obviously that growing to, you know, acting and things like that. How do you feel about that lane? Because I feel like I get mixed emotions and mixed feelings from comedians about some of like the OGs.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily fully respect like the IG comedians as much as like a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
What's your just overall opinion on that though?
I personally love it. I think it puts a lot of power back into the artist's hands.
Yeah.
I think when you can go straight to the people and just talk to them or just do skits or just post your stand-up online and build your base and not wait for an outlet to choose you from a group of people to, you know, because a lot of times those choices, it's not just about who's the best. A lot of it's like, well, who are you repped by and who is this and what can you do for me? A lot of that stuff you don't see.
Right.
So I think it's dope. But what I don't, the only part I don't like is the perversion of the word comedian, if that makes sense. Mm. You know what I mean? I think comedian now has, the word itself has taken a lot of different forms, and all that's great. But I think there still should be some kind of distinction and respect saved for the stand-up comedian.
It's a whole nother beast.
It's a whole nother beast.
A whole nother beast.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I say everybody get your bag the way you can. There's space for everybody. But I think overall, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it gives a lot of comics a lot more power. You're able to go tour without waiting for some kind of TV thing or whatever. So
that's real.
I think it's, there's more pros than cons for sure.
That's real. I'm a big fan of it as well. Like I said, it's a lot of big names out there. You know, Drewski's a guy who's popping right now. You know, you got people in their own lanes. Famous Lowe's is like a basketball guy. You know, everybody got their own little lane. But stand up is a whole nother beast, like you
said,
man.
Beast, man.
And like I couldn't imagine this.
No editing.
Yeah, it's like you and you know the thing that trips
raw.
Me out. You up there raw. And listen, you might talk to this crew, and they're cracking up. They love it.
Yeah.
You take the same, you know, jokes, go to Massachusetts, and depending on the crowd, the market, maybe they not feeling it. And it's like, damn, like, I always just wonder, like, how do y'all adjust in those moments? I'm sure if it's been time you're on stage, it's like the first couple minutes, you're like, okay, this crowd ain't really vibing with this type of, do you just pivot, like, on the spot, or you just kind of just take the AO and just finish what you already gonna do, and...
Yeah,
keep it pushing.
Seth, stand-up is a beautiful art because I think it's a tough art for this reason, where every show is essentially prepping you for the next show, right?
Yeah.
Stand-up is one of the few art forms where you can't get good privately. If I'm a musician, I could get good privately.
Studio, yeah.
In a safe space, studio, tweak my sound, whatever, until I'm ready to show you my finished product. Stand-up is like, no, I need to take my raw product.
Yeah.
Do it in front of you based off your response, then retool and prep for the next show, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's not about necessarily like just flaming out on a joke and just moving on. I say, no, finish it so you can figure out why doesn't it work for this audience? Because if in my opinion, a joke should be able to work anywhere, right? So if it doesn't, if only worked for like a real, you know,
niche market,
then it's not ready, in my opinion, or it could be a lot better. So I think I always tell comics that like the joke just not ready, man. Like stop blaming the audience. The audience ain't laughing. The joke's not ready. It could be a better joke.
It's on you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's on you. A punchline, a synonym for a punchline is surprise. Surprise is legit. You can't help but laugh. You can't fake a laugh.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to, you know, the comic can get it out of you. The word just got to be. You know, I think my background in poetry made me respect words. Like, the words got to be placed in the right order at the right time, and you will get the reaction you want. You know, if you're not, it doesn't work, and then it's not done.
That's real, man. I obviously preparing for this interview, this episode. I was listening to some of your older work and stuff like that. You had a joke, and I can't remember the spot on, so forgive me. But it was something along the lines of like your side piece. You hadn't heard from her in a long time, and you were getting concerned about. Where she was at or what was going on, and you said something like you thought maybe she tore her ACL.
Okay, see, first of all,
fix it for me.
It wasn't no side piece.
Okay,
let's be clear about
this.
It's a porn star joke.
Porn star joke.
Man said side. We about to get me in trouble, man.
Oh no.
Hey, listen, baby, man. He don't know what he's talking about, man.
Porn star joke. That's what it was. A porn star joke. He said it was such and such. I hadn't seen her in a long time. And he said, I was concerned about it. I thought she tore it. I was in the car cracking up this the other day. I said, she tore her ACL.
Yeah. It's such a stupid line.
But it's hilarious,
it is, though. Yeah, it's a funny line, bro. But that's facts. And I think, like, for example, that line itself, a lot of my jokes, a lot of lines come out for me riffing on stage, too, what I call writing on stage, right? Where I might have a joke that's working, but I'm always trying to find ways to improve it. So I'll just be in the moment and I'll just be riffing.
Yeah.
And then if I get like a big response from my audience, I'll keep it for the next show. You know what I'm saying? Now it was a part of the joke. There's parts, I have jokes that are like 5 minutes long where the beginning came 3 years ago, the middle came 2 days ago, the ending, I already had that a year ago.
Piece it together.
I mean, I'm always tinkering different. Some jokes kill at the beginning of a show. Some jokes, you know, kill hard at the end, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes where you do the joke matters as well. So It's a fun. I like comedy because like it's like a puzzle. It's a constant puzzle that you just messing with, you know, to try to just make it a better experience for the audience.
That's fire, man. Yeah. And I know you love it when you put that puzzle together and you see the success and you know that like that was your baby that you produced. It's like damn, you know.
Then get tired of it.
You move on. Yeah.
You know, some comics, you know, they do the same thing over and over. There's pros to that because when you finally tape it and put it out to the world, it's leaping off your body.
It's great, yeah.
But I always had a good and bad habit of constantly want to just play around and find new material, especially like something that no one's ever talked about. Like, no one's ever done a poor star retirement joke. You know what I mean? And so that's why I went that route, just because it's never been touched.
That's my first time hearing. I've heard a lot of comedy. I've never heard that joke. So that is fair.
Yeah.
Before we go to our final segment here, man, you've done a lot, man. You're someone, I told you at the intro, you are a true definition of a hustler. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you were focusing on stand-up, but you wrote for others. You've been in different films and shows like Insecure, Abbott Elementary.
I used to cut hair in high school.
No, you didn't.
Yep.
In the locker room. You mess with the Clippers?
Yeah. You can't fake that.
Let me see.
You can't fake that.
Ain't too much shaking in the wrist.
You see that?
So you can draw then too then.
I could draw a little bit.
Because every barb I know is nice with the straight lines. It's about lines.
In school, I used to check my textbooks.
You got them?
Just drawing everywhere, bro. You know what I mean?
Damn.
On school material.
Yeah.
I don't own this. But I was that nice, they didn't get mad. Like, you know what? Usually we suspend you for some shit like this.
Right, right.
But this is
so good.
It's a nice eagle.
So you tell me you can draw.
Yep.
You can cut hair.
Mm-hmm.
You can do stand up.
Yep.
You can act.
Facts.
Produce.
Yep.
Write.
Mm-hmm.
Direct?
I could direct. I'll be directing shit.
Can you rap?
Yes, you can rap. I could rap.
Now the main question though.
When I'm on a date, I'll be listening.
Can you throw down in the kitchen? Keep it real. Plantains.
Look, my mother and my father could cook their ass off.
I asked about you.
I'm their son. I'll leave it at that. Now, do I show those skills often? No.
You said you were the Postmates earlier, brother. Yeah. Off camera.
No. But I do know what I'm doing when I do it. But it has been a while. I'm gonna keep it a buck.
It's the board. Okay.
You know what I mean?
The skills sometimes get a little rusty when they use them, right?
Uber Eats for a reason.
He did do that.
So my schedule is crazy. So Postmates, me and Postmates, we are very familiar with each other.
Okay.
That is the
y'all close.
All of my expenses end of the year where I'd be like that Postmate bill be crazy.
Yeah.
Because I be tipping. You know what I mean? I be tipping my driver, man. I didn't have a great tip. I'll be tipping.
Okay. Why don't you give him something? I know people who don't tip at all. So I'm,
exactly. Of course. So okay.
I'm giving you flour. I'm going to make sure
you
put
no amount on it now. I'll be tipping.
You did something earlier. I got to make sure I throw it back at you. That's all I'm saying.
So, man. I cooked a little bit. I'll be hustling, man.
Got you, man. I love that, man. Mm-hmm. Out of all the different dope projects you've been a part of, mm-hmm. you know, the house party, Abbott Elementary, the writing, what's been your favorite thing you have produced, you know, or been a part of to this point?
My favorite thing? I don't know, man, because I think for, like, every moment in time when I was at that project, I was genuinely, wholeheartedly grateful and enjoying the experience. So I think every opportunity, it serves a purpose. It gives you more confidence along your path. You know, I think it's a testament to the work you put in at that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could choose like any single moment, but
everything just kind of been.
Yeah, everything just, you know, it's been a present. I think by me, my first time doing an hour on stage, that was a very special moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was probably like one of my favorite moments of my career, just doing an hour. I think it was like Cal State Northridge. And they asked me to do an hour, never done it before. But instead of running from the challenge, just kind of like pulled all my jokes together, mapped it out, and like it went really, really well. So I think that was like a big moment for me. But outside of that, nah. Every project was great. You know, I loved them all. It was all great for different reasons.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I can't. It's really, honestly, truthfully, it's really hard to pick one.
Man. Hey, I love it, man. I love it. So we're going to move on to our final segment here. I got to pull the phone now. Just kind of our quick hitter. These are just random, fun, you know, type questions that I got to get your opinion on. So we're going to start off first with a quick this or that.
Okay.
Real simple, real quick. So the first one.
Uh-huh.
Writing jokes or performing jokes?
Performing.
In-N-Out or Fatburger?
In-N-Out.
That was a little too fast for me. Yeah. Instagram or MySpace?
Instagram.
Ooh.
Easily.
MySpace was fire.
MySpace was limited, motherfucker.
Create your own profile. You get the top 8, top 12, top 15.
That was stressful as fuck. That
it
top
was
eight,
stressful, though.
Niggas be like, oh, okay. I thought, God damn, nigga. Hey, your top 8, bro.
I was doing there, but Tom had to be on there. Yeah, so that's man. More.
Top 8 was stressful, bro. Stressful I used to wake up early to rotate, give niggas a chance. You know? Yeah, it was too much.
Give niggas a
top
chance.
8, can you imagine? Right now on Instagram, how to choose 8 people to.
Ooh, it'd be salty.
These my favorites.
That's basically what you're saying. Like, yeah, if you're not on here, I don't really follow.
That's bad
you.
Business practice, man.
It's kind of like when you get married, though. You got your people with you. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of the same concept.
Yeah, I would have to have, if my kids are still around, I would have to have 8 kids. Just so no one
so
is
you can't
offended.
Really say nothing.
Like, bro, it's family, bro.
Right.
It's bloodline.
That's smart. You That's know? Smart. Okay. Let me, all right, move forward. These are more short answer questions. So,
okay.
Describe the worst ass whooping you ever took growing up. I'm assuming, let me say, did you get whoopings growing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
But rarely.
Okay.
Because I was a fourth kid.
Okay.
By that time.
Okay. You was a little spoiled.
Parents burnt out, bro.
Tired, a little older.
Sister raised me, damn near. You know what I mean?
She probably would
be parents burnt out. She just give me a look and I'll straighten up. But yeah, probably maybe like fourth grade. And that was because I forced my mom's signature.
Ooh.
On like this parent form.
Come on, man.
So yeah, that was probably the worst. That's my ears never grew out fully.
What?
Yeah, she pulled me on my ears, lifted me off my feet that day.
I didn't even
And my
know
ears
that.
Stopped growing in the fourth grade, bro. I really believe that's why they stopped, because people were calling me out.
I didn't even notice that you said now.
Yeah,
I'm looking at my
be like, hey,
Chin,
you ain't got no earlobes.
They are a little different.
I'm like, yeah, low key.
Damn.
I got cartoon ears.
Mom don't play, man. Okay, let me ask you this. Can actors fall in love on set?
I mean, it's happened. I imagine it's happened, especially if you're single.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
If you're single,
this ain't about you.
Yeah.
This ain't got nothing to do with you.
Yeah,
this
no, I'm just saying in general. I'm saying in general.
Yeah, yeah,
nah,
yeah.
I imagine it could happen. It's not even about, oh, because we had a kissing scene together. It's not about that. I think it's the amount of time you spent, you know, with another person. It's just like any other job. Co-workers marry each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Niggas working at UPS getting married right now, bro.
Moving boxes together.
Yeah, shit. Proximity is a motherfucker.
Bro. Yeah.
We
can relate, you know what I'm saying?
Facts, bro.
Talk about the same shit.
You know what I mean? We talk about the same things, you know? Yep. There's a lot of dead time when it comes on acting, right? You know, The Rock be like, yeah, I wake up at 4 a.m., I get 2 workouts in, then I hit set. And I'm there for 7 hours. Well, he don't tell you. He only worked for 1 hour.
Right.
All set, bro. 6 hours.
We're over there chilling on the
chilling
phone.
Chilling in that trailer,
shit.
Bro.
I hate you. I go to the weight room.
Did I get to set? Tell him what you did on set, right? Come on, man.
Ain't no way you're doing that, right? 7 hours. I mean,
did I get to set from 7 to 2:30?
Mark Wahlberg got like a crazy schedule like that too. Where it's like
yeah,
7 to 12, I'm doing this. 12 to 1, I got this. I'm like, bro, ain't no fucking way.
Actors be chilling on set, man.
They be chilling.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
if
man.
You ain't doing, you know, you ain't playing a Joker.
You, know you ain't playing a Joker. That boy Joker was on the stair step like this.
Yeah,
dancing.
That was
a hell of a role, man. Okay, last one right here, man. I need you to look into that to your camera.
Okay.
And explain what makes Trader Joe's so great. Take your time, but just deep.
I think what makes Trader Joe's so great, coming from where I come from, I think it's just it's a step up.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's fresher produce, you know, it's less GMOs.
Mm.
It feels like vacation.
Ooh.
Everybody's wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Preach.
You kind of forget you at the grocery store.
Where you at?
You feel like you might be in Bali. You know, maybe Jamaica, man. So I think that would make Trader Joe's the best. The lines are very confusing.
Ooh.
You know, you could kind of cut people. It's a culture. No one gets mad because there's no real postage of anything. You know what I mean? Trader Joe's usually a nice area too, man. So you can get your little, do your groceries. Then you can also take a nice long walk, see the area, meet a baddie. Show her the owls.
They be in shape in there.
How it works. A lot of different cashews and variations. So that's what I love Trader Joe's the most, man.
Hey, man, you said that beautifully, man.
Thank you, brother.
That's a mic drop right there.
Man, I get these niggas a free commercial, bro.
Come on, now. They need to sponsor you.
Hey,
sponsor
us. Man. God damn it, Trader Joe's.
Give me some.
Can't believe they got that out of me, man.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, man, my brother, I appreciate you, man, for pulling up to the porch, man. It's
no
been
doubt,
an
man.
Honor.
Say the porch, man.
It's the elegant porch.
Change
man.
The name.
We moving up, man. This the what? The patio? What you call this?
It's the lounge now.
It's the lounge. Hey, okay, the lounge.
Nice.
It might be the lounge.
Sure, take this shit home.
Well, I knew I had a superstar coming on here, so I said, let me go ahead and leave the porch and make it to the lounge. So, my brother, though, on a serious note, man, I think what you're doing is incredible, man.
I appreciate it. Definitely
got a new fan in me and all of our porch fans. Take the time here to shout out anything you're doing or want to promote. It's kind of your time to do your thing.
I would just say check my website, Chin, EDUUNAKA, and check out any dates I have coming up that you can pull up to. That'd be great. I got some more projects coming out in the near future, so just keep an eye on that. Follow me on IG. That's Chin, EDUUNAKA. I might make a stage name, but until then, just follow your boy, man. Stay up to date.
You heard what he said, yep. Man. Follow him. What does your name mean, real quick?
It means let my faith guide me. My last name means famous.
Let my faith guide me. Mm-hmm. Famous. No wonder you successful, boy. Nah. My name is Darnell Smith.
Hey,
what the fuck?
That's a good name.
I'm done.
I know every Darnell I've ever met in my life, solid.
Solid?
Solid, man.
Are you successful, though?
Big Schmitty. You know what I mean? You go to the top, dog.
With these on, man. With these on.
Shit. Break your way in.
Yes, sir, man. I'm going to bust my way in, man. Pause. Hey, man, make sure y'all subscribe, y'all like, leave a review.
We fouled out, man.
And appreciate y'all for tuning in to the porch, man. Hey, my guy, tune in, follow him, and we out. Peace.
Catching the ones who keep acting attached to leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these letters and actually read them. That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day. We got it in. Chased all our dreams and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.